broadcast CFU 93.3 F. So today we're going to be talking about the humble carrot, and I shouldn't really call it humble. This weekend I was cleaning up my garden, and I had a lot of carrots left over from the growing season, and I decided to harvest them all and get them into storage. And I had a few yesterday, and they're absolutely fantastic. There really is nothing like growing your own produce and harvesting it from your own garden and consuming it right away. I also had some beets as well, too, which did not do as well as the carrots. I grew a couple of varieties of carrots. One is called Nantes, which is it's a cylindrical carrot, and it's was popularized in France, and the other is called mini corn. It's a smaller carrot. There are several different varieties and cultivars of carrots that you can buy and can grow. And I'm going to talk about carrots today because it really got me to thinking about what we can do, even on a small scale, to bring local food into our lives in a very direct and meaningful way. Now, I grew these carrots in a very small plot. I would say it was about 10 by 10. Actually, not even 10 by 10, maybe about 6 by 10. So I didn't have that much square footage. And carrots are a crop that you can grow in several rows together, maybe put about 6 inches between rows. But what happens with carrots, and you don't realize this when you plant the seeds in the ground, is that when they start to leaf out and start to photosynthesize, and photosynthesis is basically using energy from the sun as a catalyst to produce carbohydrates. That's what plants do, and that's why we need plants. But when those leaves and the carrots, when they start to really grow due to their photosynthesis, they really grow, and they start to grow into each other, and they can grow into other rows of food that you may be growing. It depends on the fertility of the soil that you have. But I amended my soil with compost, and I try to keep it somewhat loose because carrots really like that. Being a taproot, when they have to go or try and grow through compacted soil, they don't usually like that. What they tend to do is they usually grow around that. And so that's when you end up with those carrots that have those weird shapes. They're not necessarily straight. So anyway, I harvest them. And of course, yesterday, if anybody knows that was in southern Ontario, knows how overcast and cloudy and rainy the last few days have been. And actually, that's not a bad time to harvest them, because when you harvest them in full sun, the sugars tend to go to the leaves. And so you want to keep that stored energy in the root as much as possible, because you're getting rid of the leaves anyways. So I harvested them and had a bucket of water outside and washed them off really well, and then brought them inside to finish washing them off. And I had taken the tops off. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of the humble carrot and how I think we should be growing it a lot more. Obviously, there's many nutritional benefits to carrots, and we'll talk about that as well. So, first of all, I think you should know that carrots belong to the Umbelliferae family. Now, it's recognized by its feathery leaves, and anybody that's looked at parsley or dill being grown, fennel or celery, knows that they're very similar to the carrot leaf, and they are all in the same family. And also, the wildflower Queen Anne's lace, which is a relative of the original carrot root. Now, as far as the history of carrots, the root was found to be growing in the area now known as Afghanistan. It's amazing how many crops are originated from the Middle East that we now grow commercially around the world. Well, in Afghanistan 5,000 years ago, the root was of a purple color. And certainly you see that now, that purple carrots are beginning to make it onto the plates of restaurants that are trying to emphasize local produce. I think maybe their anthocyanin content may be higher in anthocyanins, definitely have some health benefits as well. So from the Middle East, Moorish invaders are thought to have brought the purple and yellow variety from North Africa to Southern Europe in the 12th century. And eventually, carrots were grown in Germany and France. And then Flemish refugees introduced the vegetable to England. Now, orange roots, which contain the pigment carotene, that's what gives it its orange color, were not seen until about the 16th century in Holland. And it really only came about thanks to Dutch growers who bred vegetables. There was a house of orange in Holland at the time, and so they bred the vegetable to grow to the colors of that house, which was orange. And so that really is the progenitor of today's modern varieties, and it's descended directly from the Dutch bred carrots of this time. Now, if we take a look at nutritional value of carrots, certainly vitamin A is something that we think is very important. And it's the leading source of this nutrient in the North American diet. And carotenoids, which are the plant pigments that beta carotene is from, act as antioxidants. And they're antioxidants in that they fight free radicals. They get rid of them. And the free radicals are things that contribute to cancer, stroke, heart disease, and also macular degeneration. So degeneration of your eye and your vision. And also, carrots contain other antioxidants, which may protect against other types of cancers, such as lung cancer. And so they are definitely one of the richest sources of carotenoids. And half a cup will provide the daily recommended allowance of carrots. Now, there's another aspect to carrots, and that they contain what are called flavonoids. And flavonoids contain a specific type of fiber, and it's called calcium pectate. Now, calcium is very important in the cell wall of plants. Well, this calcium pectate may also lower blood cholesterol. So in addition to providing for immunity, it also helps to reduce photosensitivity and is important in healing of the minor wounds and injuries. It helps with liver cleansing and helps to fight anemia. And it improves the general health of the muscles, the flesh, and the skin. Now, with the exception of beets, and anybody who's lived in Western Canada knows that around southeast Alberta, Tabor, sugar beets are grown. Well, with the exception of beets, carrots contain more sugar than any other vegetable. And so when we talk about Brix, if anybody's ever heard of Brix, well, Brix is basically sugar content. And you can get a Brix or a refractometer, I should say, to measure Brix. And all you do is you take a drop of juice, put it on the refractometer, and it gives you a Brix reading. Many wines, for example, will have a Brix reading of 20 and above. Wine grapes, I should say. And we know that anybody who's ever done any work with making their own homebrew beer or homemade wine knows that the sugars in the grapes are what the yeast need to ferment and make ethyl alcohol and carbon dioxide. So when we look at what's important, I think, to consumers, when we look at carrots, certainly freshness is important. They obviously crispness as well. And if they're displayed and they're unwrapped at room temperature, they can lose their sweetness. They can lose their crispness. So I would like to talk a little bit about the fennings then. And this comes from FoodLink, Waterloo Region. This is an article they did about the Fennings Organic Vegetables operation. And they are found near New Hamburg, Ontario. And they're organic growers. And we've talked about Fennings before. In fact, I had Wolfgang Fenning on last year to talk about his operation. Well, they're renowned carrot growers and renowned organic carrot growers. Now, Fennings Organic grows 200 acres of vegetables on two separate properties and employs quite a number of people. And they have a on-farm packing house, so they store and package local organic produce, and they'll supply health food stores in the Southern Ontario region, and also grocery store chains like Zehrs or Value Mart or independent grocers. And their main crop is carrots. They also grow potatoes and onions as well, in addition to other vegetables. Now, they have a reputation for being very sweet and quite tasty. And, you know, the question is, do Fennings carrots actually taste better than other store-bought carrots? It's a good question. Fennings explained that taste of a carrot depends on many factors. That includes the variety of the seed, the soil that it's grown in, the wetness of the soil, and the time of day it was harvested. And Fennings talks about carrots should never be harvested in bright sun, as the sugar goes back into the leaves in the bright sun. So you want that sugar in the roots. And it's really important that once they're picked, that the carrots are stored properly, just a degree or less above freezing. If they get warm or dry, then they become bitter. And we've all had a bitter carrot, and it's not very pleasant. If you've ever gone to a buffet and it looks like carrots have been out for 3 or 4 days and they haven't been in the fridge, then you get that woody, bitter taste, which is not a good thing. And I know when I used to work in the restaurant industry, we used to store carrots in water in the cooler. But that's not always a good idea, because although it keeps them turgid, many of the vitamins that are in the carrots leach into the water. It's probably just as beneficial to drink the water they were stored in as well as the carrots. So quite interesting. Now, they pack them in 2 or 5 pound bags, and I know you can get 10 pound bags. But I think it's really interesting just to know that they're one of several purveyors of organic carrots. And since this show is about buying local and supporting local, I would suggest checking out their website, Fennings Organic Vegetables, and seeing if you can make a trip to their store, or go to the store that you go to and see if they're in store there. Now, I also have a recipe, too, which I think is really interesting. It's called My Kids' Favorite Carrots by Jennifer Fenning. And again, this comes from the local harvest from Foodlink in Waterloo. And very simple recipe. All that's required are 5 large carrots that are peeled, 1/4 cup of sunflower or pumpkin seeds, 2 tablespoons of breadcrumbs, and 1 tablespoon of Floralp or any other sunflower oil, your favorite nut oil, whatever. So obviously some oil. So julienne the carrots and steam. Again, so like French fry matchsticks. Okay, so cut them up that way. And while they're steaming, heat the oil on medium in a fry pan and add the pumpkin or sunflower seeds, whatever seeds you add, and stir lightly until they're toasted and slightly puffed. Add breadcrumbs and continue stirring lightly until all the breadcrumbs are toasted as well, too. Then remove from the heat and set aside. Drain the carrots and toss with the seed and breadcrumb mixture and serve immediately. So this sounds like a really tasty way to have carrots. Of course, you could add sour cream or any other spices that you might like, but certainly they don't have to be had plain. There are many ways to utilize carrots. It's just a shame, though, to think that when you pick a fresh carrot from your own garden and it tastes really, really good, that you would hide the flavor in a carrot bran muffin or in a carrot cake. You know, maybe save that for the store-bought ones, but save the carrots that you harvest in the backyard for consumption just on their own. Now I'd like to play a song by Alex Pangman, and this is called I Surrender Dear.
Played the game of stay away, but it cost more than I can pay. Without you, I can't make my way. I surrender, dear. I may seem proud, I may act game. That's just a pose. I'm not that way. 'Cause deep down in my heart I say, I surrender, dear. Little mean things we were doing must have been part of the game, lending a spice to the wooing. Oh, but I don't care who's to blame. When stars appear and shadows fall, why then you'll hear my poor heart call to you, my love, my life, my all. Oh, I surrender,
played the game of stay away, but it cost more than I can pay. Without you, I can't make my way. I surrender, dear. Though I may seem proud and I may act gay, it's just a pose. I'm not that way. For deep down in my heart I say, I surrender, dear. Little mean things we were doing must have been part of the game, lending a spice to the wooing. Oh, but I don't care who's to blame. When stars appear and shadows fall, or then you'll hear my poor heart call to you, my love, my life, my all. I surrender, dear.
I surrender, dear.
That was I Surrender, Dear. By Alex Pangman, and guesting on that, I think some people would recognize the voice of Ron Sexsmith. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit more about now that you've harvested your carrots, how do you take care of them? Okay, when you harvest them, you really want roots that are firm and smooth and relatively straight. It's not always the case in the backyard garden, but that's what you'd like. The deeper the orange color that is there, probably the higher the level of beta carotene that's present in the carrot. And carrots that are cracked, probably going to be limp or rubbery, and they should be avoided. If you've got cracked carrots, there's probably no point in saving those. I threw out the few, relatively few cracked carrots that I had. Leave them for the rabbits or whoever. Now, the top of the shoulder, it could be tinged with green, but that's all right. But it shouldn't be dark or black. And sometimes when you see black carrots, like blacks on the shoulder or on the tips, you should get rid of them because that's an indication of age. If the green tops are attached, they should be brightly colored and not wilted. Now, if they're stored properly, they will keep a long time. And one of the tricks to preserving the freshness of carrot roots is to minimize the amount of moisture they lose. So it's important that when they are stored in the fridge, that they're in the coolest part of the fridge, and you put them in a perforated plastic bag. And the reason that you want to perforate it with holes in it, you want to reduce the amount of condensation that's able to form. Because you have to think about it. Carrots are respiring. So they're something that is constantly breathing, it's still alive in the sense that it's going to undergo decay processes gradually. And you want to have the maximum amount of nutritional value from those carrots, and you can maintain their storability by making sure that you don't have excessive condensation. That will just have ethylene gas allowed to build up and again further allow them to deteriorate. And speaking of ethylene, they should be stored away from fruits that produce ethylene gas, and that includes apples, pears, potatoes, tomatoes, since it causes them to become bitter. Now, if you do buy carrots with tops in the store, it's important that you twist those off and cut them off, because if you store them with the tops, with the leaves, moisture is going to be drawn from the roots, and that's going to turn the carrots limp or rubbery, so you want to get rid of those. Now, another important point, and something that I think we're seeing in our food system more and more, is that although bagged carrots usually look clean, bacteria from the soil may be present on the surface. So it's important that you scrub them with a vegetable brush, or you peel them and then rinse thoroughly. And a lot of people enjoy crunching eating raw carrots. But cooking is not a bad thing, because if you cook them briefly for 3 or 4 minutes, what that does do is that the cellulose walls, which are fairly tough, can be broken down and make their nutrients, including beta carotene, more accessible. Another interesting thing is when we think about baby carrots are not carrots that are picked earlier than their large cousin. Typically, when you see baby carrot, you'll usually see the word baby cut peels. And essentially what they are is long, slender carrots that are cut into 2-inch pieces and then peeled into a round shape. And they're the most popular variety, I think, in the marketplace now, as seen by the amount of bagged baby peeled carrots that are in the store. Now, a little bit of mythology, or is it mythology? And that's looking at carrots and vision. And do consumption of carrots actually make you see better in the dark? Well, I'm looking at one study from a UK site that says that yes, they can make you see in the better in the dark as well as the daylight. They don't give you Superman vision, but they are a fantastic source of vitamin A. And one medium carrot actually provides 10 times the very low RDA of 600 millicentigrams, which plays an extremely important role in eye health. And indeed, vitamin A is the vitamin that transmits what our eyes see to our brain. And vitamin A deficiency can result in a large number of vision problems, including glaucoma, night blindness, and short-sightedness. Now, tomatoes and apricots are also good sources of vitamin A, but on a per unit basis, carrots are the best source of vitamin A. Obviously, there is a correlation there with vision. There are also good sources of other vitamins, including vitamin K, vitamin C, again, preventing scurvy and vitamin C deficiency, and potassium as well, too, which is important for a nervous system. The orange vegetable contains smaller amounts of B vitamins, thiamine, niacin, and also minerals such as manganese and phosphorus. As well as these vitamins and minerals, carrots, again, as I said before, have antioxidants. And I'd like to talk a little bit, too, about glycemic index, because certainly people have read about foods with high and low glycemic indexes. Well, carrots have a low glycemic index, and they actually have a positive impact on regulating blood sugar levels in the body. So I'm looking at some of the data that has been done on glycemic index, and it's rated very low. Like I think it is below 10. It's quite low. So it's not something where your blood sugar levels spike and then drop. something that allows your blood sugar levels to be regulated in a much more benign way. Now, if we take a look at, let's say, a cup of chopped carrots, if we look at calorie information, typical caloric content is about 52 calories a day, which is approximately 3% of your daily requirements. And when we look at dietary fiber, one cup of carrots provides 1/6 of the dietary fiber that you need on a daily basis. It also has some polyunsaturated fats and very good omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids as well, too. There are some protein, but really not much. And where carrots really shine, though, is in their vitamin content. Definitely vitamin A. In fact, one cup gives you over 400% of your daily requirement. So very important that even if you have a carrot, like one carrot, and you chop it up before leaving home to go to work or school or wherever you go to, you're going to have your daily requirement of vitamin A satisfied by that one carrot. And so how difficult is that to quickly peel a carrot, chop it up into 6 to 10 pieces, put it in a lunch bag and take it with you? And then you've got your vitamin A requirement for the day. So I think it's quite a great return on the investment there. Vitamin K as well is fairly high. And when you look at minerals, certainly potassium, again, for nervous system conductivity, it's got a high potassium as well, too. Now, in Ontario, we do produce a lot of carrots. We produce them in the Holland Marsh. And increasingly more and more, when we look at local agriculture and the availability of in-season and out-of-season produce, you see many more CSAs, for example, many small farms that are producing and marketing carrots. And in fact, what you do see that you don't necessarily see in the larger grocery stores and then the chain grocery stores is a diversity of carrots, especially the purple carrots or I guess the yellow carrots, also the mini carrots as well. And when they're fresh harvested and they're steamed, there's really nothing better that accompanies a dish than carrots. So I can just say in summary, I planted my carrots this year towards the end of June. I was very late getting on to planting, but it was about, I'd say, just a little less than 4 months later, and I had a very good harvest. And actually, it's actually an interesting indicator for the type of soil you have and the porosity and the tilth that you have in your soil as by how your carrots grow. If you've got a lot of fort carrots, you probably got a lot of compaction in your soil. You don't have to add compost and try and ameliorate it. If your carrots are long and straight, especially if you're growing Nantes or Danvers carrots, the two very common commercial varieties, you will see that if your soil's got that tilth and workability, then they tend to be relatively straight and they don't fork and they actually look very good. And there really is nothing like harvesting carrots from your backyard. One recommendation I would say is use a fork. Don't try and pull them out, especially if you've got clay soil, even if it's rained quite a bit like it has, because it's still quite possible that the carrots will be difficult to pull out. It's good to loosen up the soil. Then you don't break the tops off and have to use your fingernails to try and pull out the carrots. Probably good. You want to keep the integrity of the outside of the carrot, and you can just pull them very easily out with the tops. This is Walter Garrison, the host of Locavore, heard on CFRU 93.3 FM.